Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I really love this text. I think it's one of the oddest gospel texts that we have in our lectionary. And it always appears on the third Sunday of Easter. And it's this strange appearance of Jesus to the disciples in Luke. The two disciples have run back some distance of 20 miles back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that Jesus is not in the tomb. And they are talking about it, and that's what's happening just as our text begins. Jesus enters the room, and the very first words out of his mouth, as often seems to be the case, is, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified. And confused. After all, their friend Jesus, their rabbi, this supposed Messiah, who they had loved and followed and shared ministry and wine and bread with, they knew he was dead. They saw it happen. Not only that, they'd seen him put in the tomb and the door shut up. And then right there, standing in the room with them, it's Jesus. What else were they to think but that he was a ghost? What else could it be? There he stands, and Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Here I am," and then he reiterates it, "I myself." Not a ghost, not a facsimile, not a vision, not a dream. "I myself stand before you." And then to further drive home the point of Jesus' real, physical, corporeal existence, he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" Not something you often hear from a ghost. "Do you have anything to eat?" And they fed him broiled fish, and he ate it in their presence. And then he begins to open up their minds. And I think in a way this is the real core of this text. Jesus eats with them again, and then he shares scripture with them, and he begins to open their minds, and he tells them, it says in our text, everything that was in the law and the prophets and Moses and the Psalms, everything in Scripture that had to do with him, how he must come and how he must die and be resurrected and come again. Their minds were opened. Well, this is a different kind of ghost story. Totally different than certainly most of us would encounter. This weekend, I spent, we went camping with the youth, which is why at the 8 o'clock service, I achieved only about one-third consciousness until most of the way through the service. But, you know, I remember as a young person when we would go out on our camping trips, our tradition was always late at night around the campfire, we would tell ghost stories every year. And it was always a lot of fun to tell those stories that would frighten you or amuse you. But it came, you know, after a few years, you realize you're telling the same ghost stories over and over and over again. How many of you have heard the one, the man with the golden arm? What, you never went to a Lutheran camp? That's like the oldest story out there besides the story of the resurrection of Jesus. There's the resurrection of Jesus and the man with the golden arm. Old ghost stories that we've heard time and time again, and yet we go back every year and we tell those stories over and over. Well, this ghost story of Jesus is something different. He's not a ghost, no matter what they think. And he begins to open their minds to the story. And then he charges them with something. He eats with them, He teaches them, and then he sends them out. And he tells them, you must explain these things to everyone. Tell the story. Well, just as in the days of my youth, we went year and year and year after year after year after year, we would go and we would tell the same ghost stories time and time again. So we also gather year after year after year on the third Sunday of Easter, and we tell the story again. We told ghost stories for entertainment, but we tell this story because it brings life. When Jesus comes to the disciples and he says to them, "Peace be with you," in that little phrase he bestows the whole nature of God is love. And he wishes them, "Peace be with you," shalom, Irene, everything all gathered into one, peace and wholeness and love be with you. And then he supplements that by telling them about what God has done in all of creation and how God continues, just as Christ, to be fully and completely present. It's a really important distinction for the author of Luke to let us know that Jesus is physically and really present among God's people. Not a metaphor, not an idea. Not just a miasma or a phantasm. In the same way, for us, Christ is truly present, saying, "Peace be with you." Frankly, I find it hard to worship a ghost. I find it hard to even care about a ghost. But Christ is present with the disciples and with us. And what he shares with the disciples and with us is God's love and wholeness. On Saturday night, we sat around the campfire. 15 young people. I'm sorry, it's Friday night. Hope it wasn't Saturday night. We sat around the campfire with these young people, and I began to think about my parents' generation. When we used to go to camp, you know, we were nuts. It was the 70s. We were crazy. And I think our parents thought about the fact, "Oh, good Lord, one day we will pass the church on to these people." These young people around the fire singing songs from the 70s, which we're still singing to this day. And they must have thought, what is going to happen to our church when we turn things over to them? Surely it will all go to heck. In the same way, generation after generation has looked backwards as far as our care of the earth and said, "What have you done?" I remember when I was young thinking, with all of my very liberal and concerned friends, how we blamed our parents for everything, especially the Cleveland rivers burning, wherever Fred is, he's gone. I mean, everything that had happened, it was all your fault. You know that, right? It's all your fault. But we can't leave either the faith of Jesus and the faith of God's people. We can't leave that to the next generation or the previous generation any more than you can take full fault for what's happened in the earth. What Jesus does is he places the disciples as stewards of the faith. And he says to them, "Now, go out and share it." Well, as I stood around the campfire with these young people, as they earnestly spoke of important things, I also thought, what's going to happen And then I remembered that this isn't our church, our faith. It doesn't belong to our generation, nor is it in our hands completely. It belongs to God. And I found a kind of peace that comes from realizing that the same Jesus who said to the disciples, "Peace be with you," says to you and me and our generation, "Peace be with you," is also speaking, "Oh, good Lord," to you. I'm talking to you, Savannah McCreary. It's all up to you too. And as my father used to say, don't mess it up. But of course, they will. And they will create something in faith and in life and in church and in our environment and in the world that we cannot even begin to imagine. Do you think the disciples sat there after Jesus sent them out and said, "Share the good news"? You think they got together and said, "Hey, let's plant a church where people will sit around in big buildings listening to organ music and doing liturgy"? They could not have even conceived that someday this is what church and faith would look like. Can you even conceive what those two are going to do? Or you? Oh. And yet, our role and our honor and our joy and our mission is to pass the faith on and then to rejoice with what God does in the next generation. I have no idea what it will look like, but it's going to be cool. And I know that God will breathe on them the same breath that God breathes today and say to our young people and the generations that follow after, long after you and I are fertilizing a Milo tree, God will say to them, "Peace be with you." And God will bring God's love and joy and peace. So I wish you God's blessing on this day and send you out as Jesus did to share the good news of Christ, that Jesus Christ is risen and he is risen indeed, and that he is calling all of us to God's peace. Amen.